Today's reading is from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22, and that's on page 871 of your Bibles. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat, and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
Paul, thank you very much for reading that for us. Please keep your outlines open and your Bibles open at Luke chapter 12. I'll be following along with that over the next few minutes. Now, it's no secret that life can often be full of stress and worry. And without doubt, one of the biggest sources of stress out there is money. Cost of living crisis, talk of taxes going up, economic uncertainty. It's understandably left many people wondering, will I be able to provide myself? Will we have enough next month? What about next year? And you know, this isn't just a problem for the world out there. Even for us, as followers of Jesus, money can be a great source of worry and anxiety. Over the past month, I've seen this in the lives of several people in our church family. I recall speaking to a fresh grad who shared about how hard the job hunt has been. Countless CVs sent out, but barely a word back. And you could see that it was weighing on him. Bills to pay, student debt to clear. How am I going to manage all of that if I can't even find a job? I remember also speaking to a sister who shared about how grim the mood at work has been recently. HQ is downsizing. Colleagues are getting let go en masse. And people are worried. Because the question on everyone's mind is, am I next? And if so, what's going to happen to the mortgage that I just took out? Another person I spoke to is currently trying to find a new place to live. That rent has gone up. The lease is ending. And so weekends now are now filled with back-to-back house viewings, which has been very tiring, very draining, because several times, just when they thought they found a decent place they could afford, at the last minute, someone swoops in with a high offer. And it's back to square one again. A huge source of anxiety. And I really feel for these brothers and sisters. You know, there have been seasons in my own life where I felt similar pressures. But I wonder, what about you? Are you anxious about money? Now, I mention this because today we're continuing with our series in money, where we consider the words of Jesus in Luke's gospel about this really big issue. And when we look at our passage today, it's actually quite clear that worry and anxiety about money and material things, this is something that Jesus knows is a very real issue, even for the Christian. Just look at our passage. Five times Jesus mentions this, speaking to his disciples about material things. Jesus says, chapter 12, verse 22, "Do not be anxious about your life." 25, "And which of you, by being anxious?" Verse 26, "Why are you anxious?" Verse 29, "Do not be worried." And verse 32, "Fear not, little flock. Do you see? Jesus knows that anxieties and worries about money are real. He knows this is our experience. But Jesus also knows that if left unchecked, this worry, it can get in the way of our relationship with Him. And so today, Jesus, he speaks to His disciples, and Luke records these words for us in order to encourage and to assure us. And the thing that Jesus wants us to know is that while money is a huge source of anxiety and stress for many people in our world, well, today Jesus wants you to know that if you are a disciple, a Christian, you do not have to worry because you have a Father in heaven who loves you and will provide for you. And He has given you something even bigger, better, more secure than this life to live for. That's where we're headed today. We've got 3 points in your handouts. In point one, we're going to look at the opening verses, which I think serve as the summary for the entire passage. And then we're going to look at how Jesus fleshes out those ideas in points two and in points three. And so, if money and material things are a great source of worry for many, well, what does Jesus want us, His disciples, to know? Verse 22. And Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, if you were here with us last week, you'll know that at this point in the story, we caught Jesus mid-sermon. Last week, we heard Jesus respond to a man in the middle of a family dispute over money. And in response, Jesus warns us in chapter 12, verse 15, "Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness." And He goes on to make the point by telling us a tragic and sobering story about a rich fool, a man who made his entire life about accumulating more things, only to lose everything because he forgot the one thing that ultimately matters. Now, but as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, perhaps there were some of those who were amongst them who wondered, okay, but what about me? I'm not like that man. I'm not trying to be a billionaire. I'm just worried about next week's grocery bill or paying next month's rent. Which is exactly what Jesus goes on to speak about in verse 22, as Jesus now turns His focus to food and clothing, the basic necessities of life. And to the person who is worried about those things, verse 22, Jesus says, "I tell you, do not be anxious." Now, but again, perhaps some of us might be seated here and hearing this. And maybe right now, you are already thinking, "But Jesus, you have no idea the kind of financial pressure I am under right now." And so friends, is Jesus just a bit out of touch? Maybe a bit callous for saying that? However, it occurred to me this week that while this might be something that we might find hard to stomach today, these words, I suspect they would have sounded even more striking to the people who first heard them back then. Because think about it, when Jesus first said these words, He wasn't speaking to people like us, living in London, one of the most affluent cities in the world, in one of the most prosperous eras in human history. No, Jesus is speaking to people in ancient Galilee. People who have no basic sanitation, no running water, no healthcare, none of the safety nets that even the most vulnerable in our society have access to. In other words, Jesus is speaking to people who, by our standards, had every reason to worry. These were real people with real problems. And yet, the striking thing is that Jesus says to them, "Do not be anxious about material things." And so the question I think that leaves us with is, well, what reason could Jesus possibly give? What truths could He possibly show us to help us to believe these words? Well, as we read on, Jesus gives us two reasons, two big truths. First, Jesus points us beyond this life to something greater. Verse 23, "For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." In other words, there is more to your life, your existence than material things. And we'll hear more about that later. But second, Jesus also wants to point us upwards. In that, if you are a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, Jesus wants you to know that you have a Father in heaven who knows you, loves you, and will provide for your needs. And Jesus does this, redirect our focus, because it is only when we look up beyond the cares that are right in front of us to see what is really happening, well, only then will we begin to take his words to heart. And only then can we begin to live lives that are free from worry. And so it's a bit like this. A couple of weeks back, my family and I went to Greenwich Park. We decided to climb up to the observatory, which, if you've been there, it's on this massive, very, very steep hill. And the kids, they did so, so well. But halfway up the hill, Emma, my youngest daughter, you might have saw her just now, she began to struggle. And so as I'm walking ahead, you know, I can hear behind me, "Mama, I'm tired. I want to go home. Mama, carry me." And Deb and I, you know, we kept, you know, encouraging her to keep going, you know, "Come on, just a bit more, you can do it." And eventually, we made it. As we reached the top, I can still remember, there was a special moment when just when we were about to peek over the crest of the hill, I recall looking back at Emma and seeing the look on her face change. From weary and worn out to wow. Because suddenly, Emma wasn't staring at the hill anymore. She was seeing the whole city. A complete change in perspective. And friends, that is what Jesus wants to do with us today. So often, our vision is obscured by pressures and anxieties that are right in front of us. But Jesus, he wants to take us with him to zoom out and to see what is really happening. Which brings us to our first stress-busting, perspective-shifting truth. Don't be anxious because your loving Heavenly Father will provide. Verse 24, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" We're at point two in your outlines. Last week, Jesus introduced us to a rich landowner, a man who was obsessed with hoarding wealth, building bigger barns, building storehouses for his crops, which he had sown and he had reaped. But in verse 24, Jesus now turns his listeners' attention to the world around them. And he says to the disciples, "Now, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet, God feeds them." On verse 27, "Consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, God clothes them. And he clothes them with such beauty and splendor that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." Now, this, I feel, is something that our family knows quite well. Our living room overlooks a tiny patch of grass. And in our little garden, there's a small but regular cast of characters that the kids love waving to. And so there's Robbie Robin. There's Jesse Squirrel. Pigeon, he doesn't have a name. And sorry, we don't have a photo of him either. And there was even once when a fox showed up next to our window. And I remember that was a very, very exciting morning for the children. But you know, the thing about all of these backyard friends of ours is it's not like we feed them. We don't look after them. They're not our pets. And yet, somehow, they always seem to have what they need. Similarly, in springtime, we also get these wildflowers that bloom. I couldn't tell you what they're called, but they're these really tiny, delicate, beautiful things. And again, it's not like, you know, me and the kids are out there manicuring the lawn and, you know, looking after these flowers. No, come springtime, they just grow. Beautiful. And Jesus' point in telling us this is obvious, isn't it? Because verse 24, Jesus says, well, if God looks after these creatures with such care, in verse 28, if God looks after the grass with such care, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, well, then wouldn't God, your Father, look after you? Because verse 24, of how much more value are you to your Father in heaven than the birds? And so why be anxious? Now, at this point, it's probably worth clarifying that when Jesus says, you know, don't be anxious because he provides for the birds and the grass, this is obviously not a call to quit your job and to somehow expect food and clothing to magically appear. No, this is not a call to lazy passivity. No, but rather, what it is saying, however, is that if that is how God cares for even the birds and the grass, well, then you do not have to anxiously seek after these things. You do not have to frantically strive and chase after them. Which means, please, you know, keep sending out those CVs. Please keep being faithful in your jobs. And please keep going for those house viewings. But don't let those things consume you. Don't let them occupy every single waking hour. Don't let them keep you laid up at night. And don't let these things consume you with worry, not only because you have a Father in heaven who will provide, but also because, verse 25, you worrying, it is not going to make an inch of difference. Verse 25, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? In other words, Jesus says, well, another reason not to worry is because worrying is pointless. It does nothing. You can play and replay every scenario in your mind. You can check and recheck your email inbox waiting for that reply. And Jesus says none of those things will achieve anything. You can't even add a single hour to your life by worrying. And if you can't do a small thing like that by worrying, what's the point of worrying about everything else? And so do not worry, Jesus says. Verse 30, the nations, the non-Christian world, worrying about money, that's their thing. Because if you believe this, that this life is all there is, well then obviously you'll be worried about material things. Because what else is there to live for? But if you are a Christian and you know that you have a Father in heaven, a Father who loves you, who knows you need these things, well, then Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father, he will provide for your every need. And instead of anxiously seeking after the things in this life, in the closing verses, Jesus now wants to direct our attention to something even more precious, even more certain than any material in this world. Verse 31, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, last point. And so in these closing verses, Jesus now expands on this idea he first raised in verse 23, that life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And the reason Jesus says that is because, again, if you are a disciple of Jesus, well, then you know that this life is not all there is to your existence. Rather, verse 32, in God's incredible kindness, our Father, he has given us the kingdom. A kingdom not of this earth, but verse 33, in heaven. And this heavenly kingdom, it's not only obviously precious, but in verse 33, it is also totally secure. Markets can crash, the AI bubble could burst, a recession might leave you unsure about work. No, but verse 33, this kingdom, it will never grow old. It will never fail. It can never be stolen or destroyed. Because this kingdom that our Father has given us is an everlasting kingdom. One that will go on into eternity. Long after your job, long after your mortgage, long after your funeral. And brothers and sisters, it is because that is the great hope that we have as Christians. Well, verse 33, that's why Jesus tells us, hold loosely to the stuff you have now. Be generous. Give to those who are in need. And most of all, verse 31, seek after this kingdom. Live for it. Invest in it. And know that your Father, who has given you the kingdom, He will provide everything else you need until you get there. My friends, can I just say that, you know, I'm always constantly encouraged by how so many of you here do this. Seek the kingdom, live for it, invest in it in all sorts of ways. Whether it's through your acts of service, your love and care for others, and from Kelvin's update earlier, your willingness to give to the work here at Euston Church, investing in kids' ministry, supporting new Mandarin work. And, you know, there's lots more that we can say about that specifically, about giving and investing in the kingdom financially, which we're going to look at in our last sermon next week. But for now, brothers and sisters, are you feeling anxious about money? Well, Jesus wants you to know that if you belong to Him, you do not need to worry, because you have a Father in heaven who sees you, loves you, and who will provide for you. And because He's already given you something bigger, better, more secure than anything this world can offer, His everlasting kingdom. Well, friends, then we do not have to be anxious. And so do not worry. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Shall we pray?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the chance to gather here today to worship you and to read your word. Thank you that you are a loving Father and a God who delights in giving us your everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that we do not deserve and a kingdom that is everlasting and thieves and moths cannot destroy. Thank you that life is so much more than food and that the body is so much more than clothing, that there is treasure in you that does not grow old and that we can have complete confidence in. And thank you for your ongoing provision for us. We pray that we'd not be anxious about material things, about food and clothing and anything else that may be on our mind in that area. And we pray we'd not put those above you and your promises. They would not be what define us or consume us. We pray that we'd grow in trust in you and that we would not be anxious for those worldly things. We pray that we continue seeking after you and your eternal kingdom. And thank you again that you delight in giving us that everlasting kingdom. We also thank you for your faithful provision for Euston Church through all of the years of the church and continuing today. Thank you that through your provision, we've been able to invest in further ministry through children's work and continue exploring further ways to share your good news, including Mandarin work. We know that everything comes from you, and we pray for continued provision for Euston to continue reaching out into London, building people up and sending people out with your good news. We pray that more would be able to give towards the work here at Euston over the coming weeks, months and years, and that this would enable Euston to continue sharing your good news more widely. Finally, we pray for the wider world and for conflicts across the world. We pray for the conversations around peace in Ukraine at the moment and all of the other conflicts and fighting and negotiations that are ongoing across the world. We pray that peace may prevail, for wisdom for the leaders involved. And we pray for all the people affected and our Christian brothers and sisters involved. We pray that they would know that life is about more than food and clothing and that you give an everlasting kingdom free of the pains of conflict. Amen.